From the University of Alaska campus at college, this is Bob Olson with the first program in a series designed to keep you informed about your state university. Each week we will present news about student life, cultural and academic affairs, research projects, and university events. Our subject today, the class of 1968. Last month, the University of Alaska welcomed the largest freshman class in its 47-year history. 491 young men and women took the first steps into a stimulating new world on the university campus. The first week was a busy one, of course. It was filled with testing sessions, health examinations and speech checks, orientation classes and campus tours. Of course, as they prepared themselves for citizenship in the university community, there was also time for fun with riverboat rides and barbecues, hootenannies and dances. Then the new collegians settled down to business of learning. They received counseling and guidance. They made decisions about subjects and courses. They met professors and bought books. Each new day brought the excitement of new experiences and new acquaintances. The first day of classes, and assignments, of course, removed any doubt that they were university students at last. What kind of young people make up the class of 1968? University President Dr. William R. Wood, addressing the university faculty, said that the largest and best-prepared freshman class in history entered colleges and universities this fall. They are searching for knowledge to help them meet increasingly greater challenges in a rapidly changing world. They want no Mickey Mouse solutions, Dr. Wood pointed out. Rather, they are looking for imagination and creative adventure from educators. These students have come to the university to study and to explore. They realize that obtaining higher education is a serious business, that their college years are vitally important to their future. They are fun-loving, as American college students have always been, but they are also dead serious. Who are these students? 194 are women, and 297 are men. 3 men to each 2 women, a ratio the women seem to appreciate. They come from 73 different Alaska cities and communities in every corner of the state, from Ketchikan and Point Barrow, from Juneau and St. Paul Island, from Sitka and Anchorage, Unalakleet and Valdez, from Fairbanks, Inilchik, Nome, and many more. By ancestry, they are Norwegians and Eskimos and Irish, Indians and Italians, but they are all Alaskans, and they truly represent Alaska and her people. Blending with our Alaska freshmen to lend an even more cosmopolitan atmosphere to the class are students from 24 other states and 3 foreign countries. These are freshmen who have come great distances to participate in the unique cultural and academic advantages at the University of Alaska. The educational interests of the class of 1968 are many. The College of Mathematics, Physical Sciences, and Engineering has attracted the greatest freshman enrollment. The College of Business, Economics, and Government is next, followed by the College of Behavioral Sciences and Education, and the College of Biological Sciences and Renewable Resources. Some specific subjects attracting the greatest interest are education, wildlife management, and the biological sciences. In working to achieve their educational goals, this class has some worthy examples to follow. Enrollment of all classes on the main campus this fall is 1,416, a 15% increase over the fall term last year. And of this number, 1,138 are Alaskans. From 39 other states and U.S. possessions come 238 students, and 40 come from 16 different foreign countries. 138 are graduate students studying for master's and doctoral degrees. Enrollment in the 6 community colleges, extension courses, and military on-base courses swell the university's total enrollment this semester to nearly 5,000. Today we have presented a brief view of the new freshman class at the University of Alaska, Alaska's graduating class of 1968. In future programs, we will present news of the university in teaching, research, and in service throughout Alaska, in the classrooms and laboratories, from Ketchikan to a floating ice island near the North Pole, from beneath the Earth's surface to the ionosphere many miles above it. This Is Your University is produced weekly by the Office of University Relations at the University of Alaska and is recorded at University Radio Station KUAC. From the University of Alaska campus at college, this is Bob Olson with the second program in a series designed to keep you informed about your state university. Each week we present news about student life, academic affairs, research projects, and university events. And now, this is your university. A highlight of the many activities on the campus last week was the annual fall meeting of the Board of Regents. The board met for 3 days to consider many university affairs, to approve the 1965-66 budget for a presentation to the governor, and to review an updated master plan for campus development completed this month. The board members were joined by Governor William A. Egan Friday for a special presentation by university officials on the current status of academic and research programs. Also with Governor Egan, the board heard a proposal to consolidate all University of Alaska instructional programs in the Anchorage area under one administrative unit. Such a consolidation would open new opportunities for hundreds of people to continue their education while working full-time. It would train teachers, would train technicians and specialists for the business community. It would consolidate the present community college, including adult non-credit courses, an expanded technician-level offering, the military off-campus program, and university upper division and graduate courses, including summer sessions. Details will be reported in later programs. One of the major objectives of the university is to increase and apply knowledge valuable to mankind through research, and to develop original applications of new knowledge to human endeavor, particularly to Alaskans. Of the many research projects in progress now, probably the one which has sparked the greatest public interest is the Muskox Project. Under a grant from the Kellogg Foundation, the university is continuing research first started in the early 1930s when 33 muskoxen were brought to the university from Greenland by the U.S. Department of Interior. Because of economic problems, the project was short-lived, and the animals were exiled to Nunavak Island, where they prospered. In fact, the herd grew to 400. Since August this year, Professor John Teal, supervisor of the new project, has been capturing muskox calves on Nunavak and airlifting them to a new home on the campus. The project will determine the feasibility of raising muskoxen for commercial use. Its valuable fleece is considered one of the world's finest fibers, as soft as silk and finer than cashmere. And muskox steaks, it is said, are considered superior to most wild game meat. Professor Teal and his staff returned this week from another roundup on Nunavak with 9 more calves. The muskox farm now has a population of 23, and there are 10 more to come. Although these shaggy-looking creatures are bashful around strangers, and visitors are not allowed, they have grown fond of their young herder, Terry Hall. Terry and Professor Teal feed the calves a special formula using calf feeding buckets with large nipples. And for recreation, the more domesticated of the herd, or perhaps we should say the more sophisticated, play a rough-and-tumble game in their pasture with a large medicine ball. Newsweek magazine recently likened the muskoxen to the shmoo, calling them genial critters that taste good, give a lot of wool, and like inhospitable climates. It will be interesting to watch their progress. On the university sports scene, basketball coach Bill Ordway is looking to a new crop of junior and sophomore ball players to help bolster a squad which lost 3 key men to graduation. Coach Ordway expected the Nanooks to be strongly tested at the annual alumni game on Halloween. The alums starred a number of former Nanook stars. The University Rifle Team is also looking to new members to maintain its nationwide reputation as one of the best collegiate rifle teams in the country. Sergeant Leonard Horton, team coach, is counting on the largest turnout ever to produce some top-flight shooters. On the academic scene, scholarships and grants totaling $80,000 have been awarded to 200 students at the university this semester. This is 70 more than last spring's total. 40 different organizations, including businesses, corporations, service clubs, and unions, made the scholarships available. A design submitted by 2 civil engineering students at the university has won national recognition in an engineering undergraduate contest. Seniors Gordon Rivas and Stuart Powell placed 4th with a design of a marina proposed for the lake formed by Rampart Dam, should it become a reality. And that's the news, a brief roundup of events at your state university, produced weekly by the Office of University Relations at the University of Alaska and recorded at University Radio Station KUAC. From the University of Alaska campus at College, this is Bob Olson with the third program in a series designed to keep you informed about your state university. Each week we present news about student life, academic affairs, research projects, and university events. And now, this is your university. A dream come true. Lawrence Wyatt, A young University of Alaska English instructor will soon see a dream come true when the University of Alaska Drama Workshop produces an intimate musical named If This Be Madness. The musical will be performed November 13 through the 16th in Fairbanks and November 21 and 22 in Juneau. It's the product of 3 years' work by Wyatt and John Gilbert, a musician from Texas Technological Institute. Wyatt wrote the play and collaborated with Gilbert on the lyrics. Gilbert wrote the music. With me today is one half of the team of Wyatt and Gilbert, Larry Wyatt. Larry, I know your play is both tragedy and comedy based on the lovable character Don Quixote. Would you please tell us just a little bit more about your theme?
I'd be glad to, Bob. It is, as you say, based upon the character Don Quixote. However, the central character, Daniel Quick, is very much a modern man, a quixotic hero of a kind, and yet modern in the sense that his life, so he feels, has been futile. He doesn't understand the purpose of his life, and he begins to blame the world for this sense of purposelessness. What he does in order to remedy this is to set out to recreate the world in his own image. In his quixotic way, then, he wishes to bring to the world new honor, glory, dignity, and nobility. His antagonist is a man named Bartholomew Stoffeles, a New York psychiatrist with very much a different view of the world. For him, man is merely an embodied impulse. The crux of the play, of course, lies in the conflict of these two characters, each with different worldviews, and the many adventures they undergo. We think it's an exciting show.
Well, it certainly sounds delightful, Larry. We're going to be looking forward to it. Thank you very much. From many Alaskan communities, and from as far away as St. Lawrence Island in the Bering Sea, 38 Alaskans have come to the university this year to study electronics. Although they represent a multitude of backgrounds, these students have one thing in common: the desire to improve themselves through specialized technical education. These Alaskans make up the second class to take a 51-week electronics technician training course under the Manpower Development and Training Act of the federal government. 18 members of the first class, which graduated earlier this fall, are already employed in electronics in Alaska. Dr. John Tryon, head of the university's electrical engineering department, said, "When a student finishes the course, he's ready to get a job. He's ready to gain further experience and actually go to work in the electronics field." An internationally recognized scientist, Dr. Lawrence Irving, director of the Institute of Arctic Biology at the university, is in Japan this week participating in a seminar on bioclimatology, the science of studying effects of physical environment on humans, animals, and plants. Dr. Irving is one of 8 American scientists invited to the seminar sponsored by the National Science Foundation and the Japanese government. Dr. Irving is the author of 8 books in the field, and he's a pioneer in developing emergency apparatus for air flight, work which has contributed greatly to flight in space. Since 1956, Dr. Irving has been an honorary research associate of the Smithsonian Institute. In the University Art Department, 26 students are carving and sculpting in native Alaskan materials under the guidance of Professor Helmut Van Flein, the department head. Some beautiful work has been done in Alaska soapstone, which is quarried near Palmer. Soapstone is a lustrous material with sumptuous grains in various shades from light gray to almost ebony black. It excels as a carving material. Other Alaska materials being used by the student artists are Alaska birch from the interior and Alaska red and yellow cedar. It's a beautiful long-grained wood, finely adaptable for carving. Experimental work has been done with Tokine marble from southeast Alaska, and much ceramic sculpting is being done with Healy clay from the Usabelli coal mine near Fairbanks. And that's it. A brief feature roundup of events at your state university, produced weekly by the Office of University Relations at the University of Alaska and recorded at University Radio Station KUAC. Campus at College, this is Bob Olson, and this is your university. When they reach the junior and senior years, most university students are faced with one of life's major decisions: which direction to step to obtain that all-important first job. University of Alaska students may receive assistance in this decision from the university's Graduate Placement Office. Last year, 11 major companies sent personnel representatives to the campus at College to interview junior and senior students for possible future employment. This week, Donald Hartman, a personnel representative of the Texaco Corporation, is on the campus interviewing geology students for summer employment and full-time career positions. He will visit the campus again in February. Representatives of many other companies have also scheduled visits this year. Last February, the university started a series of annual Parents' Night programs in Alaska communities. The Parent Night programs are planned to bring information into Alaska's cities and towns concerning the university's academic programs. They are specifically designed for parents who have students in high school and may be deciding upon their future education, and for parents of students currently attending the university. The informal programs are presented by university representatives and are followed by question and answer sessions and slide showings. The first Parents' Night this year is scheduled for the Fairbanks area. It will be held on November 19 at the University Dining Commons. Both students and faculty members will be on hand to give talks and to answer questions. Parents' Nights in the Anchorage area and in southeastern Alaska are being scheduled for February. Parents are invited to bring their high school children, and other students are also welcome to attend. Now, with news from the university sports scene, here is Dean Olson.
The ice in the main hockey rink is in excellent condition, says university hockey coach Jack Peterson. 19 men turned out for the hockey team this fall, 9 of them veterans from last year's team, and practice started Monday. This year, in addition to a schedule with Fort Wainwright, the Nanook hockey squad will travel to Canada. In Alberta, they will meet the University of Alberta, and in Vancouver, the University of British Columbia. Coach Peterson says it's too early to make judgments, but he feels that the mixture of experience and enthusiasm will give the university a good year on the ice. Last week, the university's rifle team broke its own scoring record as it defeated the Tanana Valley Sportsman's rifle and pistol team with a total of 2,227 points. This was the university's third weekly match in preparation for the Kansas State University Turkish Shoot at Manhattan, Kansas in December. There are usually about 60 teams entered in this nationally famous match, and last year the University of Alaska placed second, shooting against the nation's top teams. Rifle coach Sergeant Everett Horton said, "There are bound to be some tough teams there, but I'm going down with the best team I've ever coached."
Thank you, Dean. The university's oceanography research vessel, the Acona, left Juneau Sunday for a 10-day research cruise. It will cruise from Juneau to Cape Spencer, then to Yakutat and Prince William Sound. Then it will return to Juneau. During the voyage, the Acona will stop at 63 stations, and the scientists aboard will take temperature readings and water samples, as well as conduct other research work. The Acona is an 80-foot floating laboratory superbly equipped for oceanography research. It has two laboratory areas, precision depth measuring equipment, nets and trawls, coring tubes, and special cranes and winches. It is hoped that findings from present studies will eventually produce a graphic picture of Alaska's offshore resources. As a conference center, the university is rapidly becoming more and more service to the state of Alaska. Last week, the Alaska Personnel and Guidance Association met on the campus at college. This week, the 11th Military Conservation Officers course is in progress, and starting next week, the Civil Defense Education Program will use university facilities for 6 days for meetings, classes, and for an exercise. Last summer, a total of 1,462 persons enrolled in various non-credit workshops on the campus, as well as conferences and sessions. The university's summer sessions catalog for next summer's credit courses is now being prepared and will be ready for distribution in February. And that's it, a brief feature roundup of events at your state university, produced weekly by the Office of University Relations and recorded at University Radio Station KUAC. From the University of Alaska campus at College, this is Bob Olson, and this is your university. The Ketchikan Community College of the University of Alaska is having a birthday this week. It was 10 years ago that the college opened under the provisions of the Community College Enabling Act, making it the second oldest of Alaska's 6 community colleges. Anchorage celebrated a 10th birthday in February, and the Juneau Douglas College was established in 1956. Palmer, Sitka, and Kenai Community Colleges were established this year. In Ketchikan this week, the Community College scheduled an open house for the community and students, and Dr. Howard Cutler, University Academic Vice President, has been in Ketchikan commemorating the occasion
and speaking to local organizations. We're quite busy on the main campus at college this week as usual, and today we are pleased to be host to the Governor's Committee on Planning for Mental Health and Mental Retardation Facilities. And with me this morning is the coordinator of this important committee, Dr. Barbara Ure. Good morning, Dr. Ure.
Good morning.
Dr. Ure, I don't know too much about your committee, so I would just like to ask you a few questions. Could you tell me just what is your committee and who makes up the committee?
Well, the committee is comprised of 16 citizens. The governor has appointed these citizens, four from the northern region, eight from the central region, and four from southeast. The citizens are from all walks of life, teachers, housewives, doctors, a judge, and
a university professor, I know.
A university professor, right. And this this committee is entrusted with the planning for the mental health of the state of Alaska.
In other words, your purpose is one of studying, research, and planning for this.
That's right. We have to know the needs and the present resources in order to be able to plan for the future.
How are you going about this, Dr. Ure, with a series of meetings or something else?
Each member of the governor's committee is chairman of a task force, and there are eight task forces besides mental retardation. However, being the chairman of a task force isn't always enough. Alaska is large, and each community will really have to form its own planning group and decide for itself what its needs and resources are.
Well, we are a very large state. What kind of problems do we have that are unique or different?
Well, you have problems of vast distance, small populations, long hours of darkness and extreme cold, problems of several different groups, kinds of people, Eskimos, Indians, ex-United Statesers.
Chichacos, we call ourselves.
Yes.
Well, is the plan, the long-range plan, then, to have something to do with actually building a physical facility in Alaska as well as...
It may or may not. Some physical facilities will need to be built. However, a comprehensive community mental health clinic need not necessarily mean a new building. It can mean a new interest in the community. It can mean an awareness in a community of the need for new kinds of services. It can mean that a community will show initiative and attract new professional people, perhaps just a social worker for family service.
It's up to our Alaska communities then actually to work with your committee.
That's right.
And to see what we do need and sort of carry the ball from there, isn't it?
That's right.
You are meeting on the campus here at the university this week. I notice you have some well-known Alaskans on the committee, and we're very pleased to have you. Exactly what are you doing here this week?
This is the second of four meetings this second year of planning. Alaska's just a little behind the other states. But we hope to catch up quickly.
You're a new Alaskan yourself, aren't you, Dr. Ure?
Yes, that's right.
And you came from a little bit smaller state with a larger population.
Yes, New York City, yes.
How do you like it here?
I think it's great.
You like our chilly weather?
Don't mind it.
Wonderful. Well, Dr. Ure, thank you very much for joining us today. We will look forward to learning more about the Governor's Committee on Mental Health. And now that's about all of our time. This Is Your University is produced weekly by the Office of University Relations and recorded at University of Alaska radio station KUAC. From the University of Alaska campus at College, this is Bob Olson with a brief feature roundup from your state university. 4 years of academic study toward graduation from a university requires lots of work, and a hardworking student needs plenty of recreation. At the University of Alaska, when they want a fun break, students have a wide choice of extracurricular activities.
Hootenanny is always popular, for instance. Friday night, the Associated Women Students sponsored a song fest for all students in the University Commons. An amazing variety of vocal and instrumental talent entertained a large crowd of students and faculty members for 3 hours. Everyone, of course, joined in the singing, and the only requirement for attendance are comfortable floor-sitting clothes and a lusty voice. Saturday night offered students a more formal entertainment. It was the occasion of the annual coronation ball sponsored by Alpha Phi Omega in the dining commons. And for students remaining on campus during the Thanksgiving holiday recess this week, the Theta Club is sponsoring a semi-formal dance. The Thanksgiving recess begins at 5 p.m. on Thanksgiving Eve, and classes resume Monday morning. Students also may attend weekly showings of outstanding foreign films. Such classics as Ugetsu, Potemkin, The Maltese Falcon, David and Lisa, and 2 hours of Charlie Chaplin provide both entertainment and intellectual stimulation. A 2-week art exhibit opened on the campus Sunday, displaying the works of 4 nationally known artists from the University of Colorado. On exhibit are watercolors, ink pastels, lithographs, woodcuts, and plastic etchings. A new tumbling club at the university under the coaching of Professor James Mahaffey recently performed at Fairbanks Maine Junior High School. Future plans call for performances at basketball games on campus and at special exhibitions at Fort Greeley and at other schools where they have received invitations. The club has a membership of 6 men and 3 women. They are William Wilson of Fairbanks, Larry Meyer of Juneau, Terry Ellis of Nebesna, Jeannie Davies of College, Martha Lancashire of Soldotna, David Yoon from California, Jesse Zeisiger from New Mexico, Rick Gowan of Fairbanks, and John Akar of College. ROTC, the Reserve Officer Training Corps, is an important part of a young man's university life. The mission of the ROTC program at the university is to produce junior officers who, by education, training, and inherent qualities, are suitable for continued development as officers in the United States Army. It is also designed to assist young men in qualifying themselves for positions of leadership in industries and for professional careers. In addition to the regular ROTC training at the University of Alaska, young men in the Reserve Officer Training Corps may now join an extracurricular ranger training program which meets each Sunday. Under the supervision of Captain Bob Gordon and Sergeant James Harmon, a group of 45 men now volunteer their own time each Sunday for ranger training. The program is designed to teach them leadership, to teach confidence in themselves and the ability to operate under physical and mental stress. Their first obstacle is to pass the Rugged Army Physical Fitness Test. After that, they embark on a tough program which includes bayonet training and principles of demolition, crossing of water obstacles on ropes and poncho rafts. Then they go into mountain-type operations with rappelling of sheer cliffs. They use the compass, land navigation and map reading is taught, and combat and reconnaissance-type patrolling. One of the highlights of the Ranger program training is instruction in hand-to-hand combat by Sergeant Harmon, who formerly was hand-to-hand combat instructor at Fort Jackson, South Carolina Training Center. Captain Gordon, an assistant professor in military science, is an experienced and qualified ranger. As the cast of the university's drama workshop musical, If This Be Madness, travels to Juneau and Ketchikan for performances this week, the drama laboratory on campus is planning tryouts for 3 forthcoming plays. They are The Valiant, Hello Out There, and Impromptu. The plays will be scheduled for later this school year. Music lovers on the main campus at college were treated to an unusual recital on campus Friday. Assistant Professor of Music Frank Parton presented selections on a historical harpsichord with 3 sets of strings. Professor Parton offered selections from Bach's Italian Concerto and Rameau's Pièce de Clavecin. Also in the music department, department head Professor Charles Davis is working with the university's nationally known Choir of the North in preparing 2 Christmas programs for broadcast over Alaska's radio stations during the holiday season. And that's it for this week, a brief feature roundup from the University of Alaska, produced by the Office of University Relations and recorded at University Radio Station KUAC.